So on that line of resurrection, I want to talk to you a little bit about books of fiction, I suppose. I want to talk about Harry Potter novels. I don't know, many of you have maybe read them or you've seen the movies perhaps. But in those books, there's the wizard, Albus Dumbledore, and he's the headmaster of Hogwarts. And all of these wizards, they have what's known as a familiar or a pet. And Dumbledore's familiar is a phoenix. Now, the phoenix is a powerful creature, and it's not unique to the Harry Potter books by any means. In fact, we can find references to the phoenix going back to the Greek historian Herodotus, some 500 years before Christ was born. And the power of the phoenix that it has is that it is able to come back to life after it dies. It is able to resurrect itself from its ashes and return to life. And a quick search on the internet reveals that there are probably well over 100 references to the phoenix in literature, music, television, film, sports mascots, games. So this idea of coming back, having a second chance at life, if you will, perhaps, it's a powerful motif. And so the legend or the story of the phoenix then is one of resurrection. And this morning we are dealing with a resurrection story. And while researching resurrection and reading up about it in popular culture, I discovered the following poem called simply Resurrection by Abram Dicey Jones. When I die, I'll get buried. And like buried seeds, I'll sprout back someday. What drew me to this poem is its focus on renewal, on new life of those seeds sprouting back up. That resurrection means something for the future. However, the poem does not assume a sense of immediacy, only the recognition that one day I'll sprout back. It's grounded in the reality of death with the promise of resurrection. And resurrection is key to understanding God's plan for creation. The resurrection of Jesus Christ on Easter morning is one of our central confessions of faith, that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. We understand who we are and what we are called to be as God's people through the lens of resurrection. A restored creation is only possible through resurrection. Only in this way can all things be made new, can barriers be broken down, and new life be entered in. And our passage today is very clearly a resurrection passage. The resurrection of Lazarus, which points to the resurrection of Jesus Christ and that final nail in the coffin of death. The resurrection of Lazarus is an important passage. It deals with the themes of friendship, trust, love, faith, grief, and understanding. Not surprisingly, the passage on the resurrection of Lazarus is found exactly in the middle of John's Gospel. It serves as a pivot within the narrative that now squarely points us towards the events of Easter. The resurrection of Lazarus is found in John chapter 11. There are 10 chapters before it, and there are 10 chapters after it. And in the first half of John's Gospel, our focus is on the descent of the living Word into the world. The ministry of Jesus is public, available for all to see. And the main topics are light and life, appearing 82 times, as opposed to only 6 in the second half of John's gospel. And in the later part of the gospel, the shift is towards the disciples. There are no more signs, and the topic is love, mentioned 31 times, but only 6 times in the first half of John's gospel. What we witness is Jesus descending from the Father in the first half and then returning to the Father in the second, a coming down and a going up. Our passage today, which deals with the raising of Lazarus, is a pivot between the public and the private ministry that Jesus has with the disciples. The death and resurrection of Lazarus is a direct foreshadowing of the death and resurrection of Jesus. And we see many other parallels in our passage this morning. Mary's confession, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world," mirrors the confession we find in John chapter 1, which is made by Nathanael, who says, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." Only now we've progressed and Mary's confession is just that much more succinct, that much more accurate as to who Jesus is. And more than anything else, our passage is about salvation. And it holds perhaps one of the most poignant lines in all of Scripture. Jesus wept. It reminds us of the humanity of Jesus. That seeing the grief being poured out around him, he too was moved to weep. And Jesus provides a sign for us. The stone is moved away and he calls Lazarus to come out. And word spreads. Life has been given. We don't necessarily understand it. We don't know why Jesus waited. Why not just go heal him? Yes, people were trying to kill him. The disciples warn him about going back. But we do know the end result, and that is life. The story of Lazarus is a story about resurrection. In the passage we have today, and the passage we have been looking at from John's gospel over these past couple of weeks of Lent, they all have a common theme. They are all passages about resurrection. They are all resurrection stories. The woman at the well, that Samaritan woman, who after her encounter with Jesus believes that he is the Messiah. She gains a new lease on life, and many new followers come to Jesus because of her testimony. And the man born blind, who is healed by Jesus, gains again a new lease on life. Now he can see, not just physically, but he sees the truth which is before him, that Jesus is the Son of God. Each of these in our story this morning about Lazarus is a resurrection story. And that's what we're called to share about in our own lives. This is what we are called to witness to, the resurrection which occurs in our own lives. The resurrection of our faith, found in our churches, in our families, in our communities, in our world. Resurrection for the world. Resurrection is not just something we believe, it is something that we experience. And when you experience resurrection, you start to feel resurrected. N.T. Wright explains resurrection like this. The resurrection of Jesus is the beginning of God's new project, not to snatch people away from earth to heaven, but to colonize earth with the life of heaven. Resurrection is the beginning of something new. Something new that God has done in creation. And resurrection represents our relationship with God. It is personal and it is powerful. And we confess in the Apostles' Creed that we believe in the resurrection of the body, that a day will come when all will be new, when there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And that day is yet to come, but it is a hope that we hold dear in our hearts. But resurrection is felt when relationships are mended, when walls are torn down, and when we meet one another with an embrace. Jesus calls out to Lazarus. He calls Lazarus by name. And Jesus calls each of us by name. Resurrection is Jesus calling us out of the darkness of our own tombs, sharing a meal with us, allowing us to lean against him when we're tired, acknowledging that there are moments when he carries us. Resurrection is when life and love blossoms within us. When we take actions which are life-giving, when we offer God's love and grace to all people that we meet. And I encourage you to be resurrection people. Amen.